Hey, it's Jed Hearn, host of Wizards, Warriors, and Words. If you're enjoying the writing advice on this show, you might like my new podcast, The Jed Hearn Show, where every week I share the best fantasy writing advice that I've learned from publishing 3 fantasy novels and a best-selling video game. There's over 12 episodes that you can listen to right away, including my top 10 fantasy books of all time, how to make fantasy names that don't suck, 2 rules that make writing effortless, and my complete summaries of Brandon Sanderson's and Neil Gaiman's writing classes, and much more. Check it out by searching for The Jed Hearn Show in your podcast app.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello and welcome to Wizards, Warriors, and Words, a fantasy writing advice podcast. I'm Jed Hearn, author of The Thunder Heist, and I'm joined by my co-hosts, starting with Dirk Ashton.
Hi, I'm Dirk Ashton, author of the Paternus Trilogy.
And Rob J. Hayes.
Yo, I'm Rob J. Hayes, author of, we'll go with this one, Along the Razor's Edge.
And Rob has frozen, so we'll introduce Michael R. Fletcher instead.
We're off to a brilliant start. Hi, I'm Michael R. Fletcher, author of the Obsidian Path Trilogy, and Rob is back.
And Rob J. Hayes, our last
back?
Co-host.
Am I back? Did I leave? Yes. Oh, I don't know what's going on. It's just new software. Reason. Okay, I'm Rob J. Hayes, author of Along the Razor's Edge, which I'm going to pick this one because book 4 is coming out soon, and if you're a Patreon, you can read book 4 for free. Go to Patreon.
Head on now. Over to patreon.com/wizardswarriorswords, and you can check that out if you sign up to a certain tier on there. The link will be down below as well in the notes. So for this episode, we're going to do another Chaos episode. Last time we did this, it was really interesting. Mike just said, guys, I want to do a Chaos episode. Had absolutely no idea what it was going to be about. We threw it to him, and he produced some utter gold. So, hoping for a repeat performance today, Mike. Take us away.
No pressure.
Dun,
all right,
dun,
so let's talk. Let's talk about the quest for Steve, which is hey, this is only going to be like peripherally writing related, okay? But here we go. Sometimes writers don't write.
Peripherally.
Thanks. No, can't really use that anymore. Bad, broken.
Who the fuck is Steve? That's what I want to know.
So Steve is
Mike is Steve.
No, he's definitely
Steve is
not.
Who? Sorry.
So, couple of years ago, and I think we've individually talked about this a bit. I sort of went on this kick trying to figure out how to be happy after some asshole said, "Dude, if you can't figure out how to be happy, really, how smart are you?" And which stung because I was unhappy at the time. And so I realized part of it is defining your sort of like goal as happiness was like a bad start, because happiness is like this sort of like very narrow little thing and kind of by definition temporary, right? And what I needed, what I wanted, was something bigger than that. Like, yeah, I wanted to be happy, but I kind of also wanted to feel like a sense of accomplishment. Kind of wanted to feel good about myself, where I was at, what I was doing.
Damn, those are some high goals.
I couldn't put one word to it. I couldn't sum it all up in one word. And so I called it Steve, just because it was silly. So it's the quest for Steve, and that's it's an ongoing thing, which I have to keep learning because I'm dumb. So I had achieved much of what I thought Steve was, and then kind of slacked on it you know, because I was there. I was like, I achieved it. Sweet. I have Steve. And then at some point you kind of realize, yeah, you kind of realize like, you've been backsliding and all the things you thought, that Steve was, which not necessarily wrong, but, you haven't sort of been continuing to do them. And so I thought maybe we'd just talk about, you know, finding that balance. It's like, it's work-life balance. It's achieving things and not just writing books. Look at Dirk's room there. Like, how good does that feel to have that?
Amazing. It's like a dream come true. I realized that this is the first time I have not had my office crammed into my bedroom since 1992.
Oh my God, that's before I existed.
You've been working on that office for like a good 6 months now, haven't you?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So for people who can't see, just for the audio feed, Dirk, do you want to describe the room that you're currently sitting in?
Oh, it's this is about 15 feet by, what is it? It's 15 by 14, close to that, and I have shelves for all of my books, and they're actually now in alphabetical order. I've got an old shelf that was in my grandfather's office in the 1930s when he was an attorney. Yeah. The grandfather who was in World War I and survived, thank God. I've got my standing desk. I've got my regular desk. I've got my cork board. I've got my 65-inch HDR 4K TV. I've got a couch with a
That's really going to help you write.
Queen size pull-out bed. It's for research purposes. I've got my mission chair that I've wanted since the early 2000s. I've got
and a safe. Yeah,
it makes me very happy. And a safe. It's not really a safe, but it is pretty cool, and you can lock it.
Is it a
That's
fridge?
Where he keeps Rob J. Hayes's future books.
Is it French? Is that what you said?
Is it a fridge?
Is it French?
Is it a fridge?
A fridge? No, it's just a side table that looks like a cargo container.
Nice. As you do.
And it's orange.
It looks awesome. It looks awesome. It's a very cool looking room.
Thanks.
So does the office make you Steve?
It makes me very happy. And behind the curtain back there, the whole other half is book packing and book storage.
That's a curtain?
Yeah.
So there's like a whole extra room.
There's another whole half of the room back there that's got a big table for packing and a big rack for bubble wrap and box and book storage and my scale and my printer. Yeah. It is. It is like a dream come true. It's pretty
Your
awesome.
Level of organization is terrifying.
Yeah.
That's only because it's just put together, right? give it another month. Give
months.
It another month, yeah.
So, has that, to Mike's point,
it's very,
you
it's,
feel
it's,
like you're closer
it,
to Steve?
It makes me feel very Steve, yeah.
Yeah?
It's, nice. It helps. It really helps a lot. Change is good, I think.
Yep. Change is good. Some doing stuff, I mean, I have never been a handy person. I don't do crafty stuff. I don't make things. But I kind of realized, like, my daughter wanted her room painted. And I am a no-talent ass clown. But I kind of researched it all, figured out how to do it, how to tape stuff, and painted her room. And afterwards was like, ooh, that
looks pretty good. It is. I've been doing a lot of that stuff here. Like, I painted that door yellow.
Yeah.
And it's really yellow.
It is. It's very
yellow. Yeah. And sometimes it's simple stuff, like hanging a piece of art, putting up a book cover on your wall. Mm-hmm. It's kind of astounding. We tend to ignore the stuff that that doesn't necessarily come easy to us. But that doesn't mean it doesn't play a part in, you know, in Steve.
Or we think that we don't have time to do.
Yeah.
So we don't do it. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you're a writer, so you're supposed to be writing. And every moment you're not writing, you're supposed to feel guilty about not writing.
Yeah.
But yeah. Sometimes, you know, stepping out and going for a walk is part of Steve. Putting stuff up on the walls, tidying your office. Like, my office is a fucking disaster right now.
It looks pretty good. I like all the stuffed toys up on that top shelf.
Yeah, my daughter gets to, she has taken over two of my shelves so far. One for her books and then one for like some of her art and stuffed animals and stuff, which is cool. I love it.
She's very crafty.
Really talented. I've seen some of the art that you share online. She is really talented.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's, yeah, it's crazy. I have no idea where that comes from. yeah, so let's throw it to Jed. How do you, sure. I see you are Instagram. You're constantly posting pictures of you climbing things.
Yes, yeah. I love climbing. Yeah, that so is something that definitely...
I didn't know they had monkeys in Australia.
It's only me. I've eaten all the other monkeys.
There can be only one. You've absorbed all their power.
Yeah, I started bouldering about maybe 2.5 years ago, and I definitely think it's been one of the best things for my mental health and creativity, fitness, happiness, just everything. Because it's impossible to be stressing about your writing or about your story when you're dangling like 3 meters in the air and you've got your like leg hooked around one hold and your arm like just on the edge of another one, because if you're not paying attention in that moment, you're gonna fall off and you're gonna embarrass yourself in front of everyone else there.
That is living in the moment.
Yeah, and I think it's hard to the achieve. Times when I'm happiness is when I'm the most absorbed by the present moment, whether that is that moment in writing where you get through the first difficult minutes of a new day's writing and then you kind of sink into the story and you look up and before you know it, it's been like an hour that's mm-hmm. gone past. Whether it's climbing, whether it's playing soccer, which I've gotten back into soccer in the last couple of weeks as well, which is fantastic, or football for everyone everywhere else
Thank
in the world.
Thank you.
There you go, Rob. Don't worry. Hey, I've seen an Arsenal match in London, so I'm basically
to be honest, I absolutely hate football, so I don't really care what you call it, but, you know.
What?
Nice.
I love it.
I can't stand football. It's terrible.
It's great.
Oh, my God.
Dude, I watch eSports.
Let's not sidetrack us on football.
Bad Englishman. Bad.
Fuck you.
Bad Englishman. Bad Englishman.
Rob, the Queen has exiled you from the country. Sorry.
Wouldn't be the first time.
I think the title for this episode should be Achieve the Steve.
Achieve the Steve. That's cool.
Achieve
I have the need.
The Steve.
The need for Steve.
Channeling Steve.
No takers.
So yeah,
no takers.
I think you hit on something important there. That being in the moment, which is really difficult with the
especially for writers. Like, especially for writers, I think.
You're sitting at a computer with 24/7 access to social media. And every time you have a thought, there's some asinine little part of your brain that's like, you should share that with your friends, stupid. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, hold on, I'll write that next paragraph in a second. I'm just going to post this dumb thought on fucking Twitter. And, you know, there's I think there's an impact on your daily word count, but also on your mental health, because that stepping out of the moment, that never being in the moment. And see, I've been going for walks, which is great, and it feels nice, but it's still easy to think about all the things you're going to post on Twitter when you get back, because I'm at the danger of plummeting, you know, several meters to my death at the time, so I can still, you know, it's not quite putting me in the moment. I think I need to do something more dangerous.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Maybe play in traffic, hunt some bears, anything that you will die if you're not paying attention to it is a good idea. No, I think... it's interesting that you bring that up, because I've been reading a book currently which has made me reevaluate a lot of what I thought about happiness and the best way to live a good life. And it's called 4,000 Weeks. 4,000 Weeks essentially refers to the amount of time you get on Earth if you live to 80. So if you live to 80, you get about 4,000 weeks. And a couple of interesting things that the author brings up, which I would love to get your thoughts on from all of you. One is the idea of, what is it? Like, the constant urge to think or project ourselves forward to the next moment. So you wake up and you're thinking, okay, I've got to get this thing sorted. I got to get this thing sorted. You're doing that thing. And while you're doing that thing, you're already thinking forward to the next event in the day. And it might be something that you're really looking forward to, like catching up with a friend or like going bouldering or going for a nice walk. But then when you're on that event, your mind just jumps to the next thing and the next thing. And that is like a feeling that I absolutely hate experiencing, especially because it just compounds itself and you'll be in the middle of something which you're supposed to enjoy and be present in for its own sake, like catching up with someone, and you get that thought in your head which is moving you forward to the next thing, and then you start feeling guilty and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm such a bad person because I'm not being present in this moment, and it just makes it worse and worse and worse. And I feel like in writing in particular, this is something that I have to fight against, and I would love to get your thoughts on it, because have you ever had that experience where you're writing a scene in your novel and you're thinking to yourself, this is an okay scene, I'm not feeling massively absorbed or entertained by this, but the next scene I'm going to write, or that scene 3 chapters from now, I'm so looking forward to this scene.
Yep.
And then you get there, and your mind skips to the next scene that you're really looking forward to, and you never actually occupy the moment that you're experiencing. Have you guys had that experience?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, right now I'm super excited about the next book I want to start writing.
Yeah.
Which, like, how fucking annoying is that? I'm halfway through writing 2 books right now. I literally have 100, 150,000 words I got to write before I can even actually think about starting another book. But there you go. There's that part of me that's like, oh, shiny new idea. I want to write it. But if I start writing it, I won't finish the books I'm working on. And then I won't finish that one because I'll chase the next shiny.
Projecting is something that I have always had a problem with. And usually it's bad things. And also the idea that, you know, if I'm having a bad day or things are going badly, it's going to be that way forever. But if things are good, you know, for an hour, it's going to be that way forever. Everything is going to be that way forever. And, you know, just constantly projecting and worrying about what's going on in the world. And we've had a lot of that people have had to deal with. But an old guy once, I heard him say a couple times that he suffered from that. And he's lived through dozens of horrendous catastrophes in his life. And none of them ever happened.
Yeah, pretty. Yeah, I get that.
That's a good quote.
Yeah.
That's a really good quote.
Yeah.
So, Rob, let's start at you for a moment. You've been talking about burnout again lately and sort of how you've been dealing with it. Can you relate that to Steve Forbes a little bit? What's going with you these days?
I mean, for me, I completely lost touch with Steve at the end of last year. I don't know where Steve went. Moved to a different county or some shit. and that was largely due to burnout, because, like, I mean, I have hobbies, like, you know, I do have other hobbies, but so much of my identity is tied into me as an author, basically, because, you know, it's the career that I decided to focus myself around, and I love doing it and all that lot. And so of late I've been trying to get back into the idea of, okay, actually enjoying writing again for the sake of enjoying writing, which is kind of tough because I'm on book 5 of a series. I'm writing a book 5 of the series, and I mostly enjoy book 1's my absolute favorite, because they're pure creativity. Like, I don't need to worry about fucking tying like these threads together or you know, anything like that. It's just like, right, what's coming next? Pfft. You know, what shoots out my brain for this scene, and we'll try and make it all fit together at the end. And I love that. But when it comes to book 5, I'm just like, shit, am I getting bogged down in the history of everything? And then, you know, there's like this character who hasn't met this other character for like years, and they're having a nice heartfelt reunion. And it's like, is this boring? I don't know. It's really tough. To really find the love of it when I'm up to a book 5, and it's like, I still love the character and all of that lot, all the characters, but yeah, trying to find the love of the writing when I'm just constantly seem to be trying to tie everything back together to make it all work, it's just really tough. So I really want to get back to writing a book 1 to make myself happy again. But I don't know if that actually answers your question at all. Anyway, I don't know. Personally, I'm doing better since I've got more of a schedule about me these days, so I'm sort of like working
on something there. You're back.
Sorry, Rob, you just cut out for a second.
I don't know, man. It's this software. What's going on? Where did I get to?
You're talking about getting back to a book one so you can be happy again. And hopefully that works.
Anyway, I don't know. I'm working on a bit more of a schedule, which is hopefully leaving me more time to chill out and enjoy other things at the moment. So I've been playing Elden Ring a lot. I'm really enjoying that. And I think that's something that I've certainly missed, playing computer games and reading books. Like, I'm sitting down and having a whiskey and reading Robin Hobb every night at the moment, and I'm absolutely loving it again.
Nice.
Good.
So yeah, like, for me, it's like trying to go back to some of the things that I've always loved, but just fell out of the habit doing because I didn't have time. I was too busy sort of working, so I can't remember the last time I played a computer game for more than an hour, and I'm now like 78 hours into playing Elden Ring, and I'm just like, this is fucking brilliant. So
hobbies are maybe a little weird for writers, because I'm guessing most of us started with writing as a hobby. Not many people sort of like throw in and like, that's my career all of a sudden, so that's your hobby. And you're like, yay. And then you're making money at your hobby. And you're like, yay, that's amazing. And then you're living at your hobby. And you're like, yay, don't have a hobby. Like, yeah, and then when you're not working, so now you don't have a hobby. You're not doing, anything. And your whole life is words. And you go like, well, I love reading. And you pick up a book and you're like, fuck, I hate reading. I'm going to go stare at more words now.
I haven't had that happen yet.
I have, but I found the way to sort of like combat it is to take time off. So like, you finish writing whatever, and then don't stare at words for a few hours. And then after you've had like 4 hours or so, then pick up a book and be like, okay, I can actually enjoy the words again. But if you try to go straight from writing to reading, yeah, nah. Too many words, just no.
Do you guys think that a large part of what we're sort of touching on today is trying to be as excited as possible about like the present moment? Because it sounds like a lot of the things that we're converging on are saying that like unhappiness or anxiety is when you want to escape the present experiences or sensations that you're feeling right now, whether that is like the book is going badly or you're on a walk and you're not present in that moment or whatever it is. So for you guys, what has been the most effective things that have made you excited to write the scenes that you're writing right now or to be doing the activities that you're doing?
Oh my
right
God, you're going to try and tie this back into writing?
Yes. There is nothing else, Mike. Only
right,
the words.
Right, right.
No, I'm happy to talk about the other stuff as well, because like, this is one of my favorite topics to discuss. Just like, how do you find meaning and happiness and peace, and are those the same thing? Are they different things? But yeah, I'm just curious to like get the specifics of writing, and then we'll extrapolate it out from there to general stuff. Because I feel like if you can manage to figure out how to consistently be excited about writing your daily words, then you can probably figure out how to be excited about like anything else in life, is my thoughts.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think they're not completely unrelated, but they're not the same thing. Like what's been working for me for writing and for being in the moment when writing is doing sprints. I'll set an alarm for 30 minutes, and until that alarm goes off, I am not allowed to do anything else. There's no social media. There's no getting up and walking around and making coffee or any of that shit. I am ass in chair making words for those 30 minutes. That's been really good for keeping me focused, because otherwise if I'm not actually doing a sprint, I am constantly flaking and popping onto social media to say something, to read something, to whatever, who cares. The bigger sort of like happiness, contentedness, Steve thing, that writing is like one thing. It's one tiny part of that. Being present in the moment is super critical. Maintaining a level of sort of cardiovascular fitness, just mm-hmm. so you're getting your endorphin kicks at a regular thing, super critical. Sunlight, super important, which sucks because I live in Canada and sky has literally been a gray dome for like 6 months, so I haven't seen the sun. I am so fucking pasty white right now.
The sun never shines in England.
Finishing things, you know, moments of achievement really important, and they can be small things, and creating, you know, I think having something that you finish and can kind of hold up and go, I did that. Mm-hmm. And it can be anything. It could be putting a poster up on a wall, could be making something with your hands, I don't know.
Candles. But, yeah, I've been doing candle making recently, and I'm finding that quite, you know, quite pleasant. Get to make some candles, and then what's really fun is like burning them. Well, you know, lighting them on fire. that's actually cool. It's just something that I just picked up as a new hobby, and it's really fun.
That's nice. Yeah.
Yeah, it's mostly. Cool.
Did you bring up?
No, go ahead, Jeff.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, you kind of bring up an interesting question here, which is like, is it better to chase excitement or is it better to chase peace?
I was just going to say that I'm much better off if I'm not overly stimulating myself when, you know, like that, trying to be excited, or if I get too excited, then it's like I get anxious. Also, at the same time, because whatever's happening, whatever I'm doing, I'm not getting enough of it, and I'm not doing it fast enough.
I'm much better off
if I can take a deep breath and just be content that whatever I'm doing right now is okay for me to be doing. And that's and that even goes for writing. Well, it's like, well, isn't writing always okay to be doing? Well, you can get I can get over obsessive about that too. It's finding that balance where I can just be, okay, I need to do this now. Even if it's not something that I want to do, I'm going to do it and just be content that it's the right thing to be doing right now. Right. And that includes writing, you know, and too many hours a day, and I'm not very productive, right? After a certain amount of time, and the trick is just kind of knowing when that is and when it's okay to stop even. But also not putting shit off like I do, like I really do need to get some writing done, instead of, you know, moving these books around again, or, you know, whatever it
else. Alphabet's cool ordering your bookshelves, yes.
Yeah. You know, I really need to, like, sweep, get my Swiffer out and clean up this floor. No, I don't. I don't. That's not something I need to do. When it needs to be done, then I should be content doing that, but I don't have to do it, like, you know, all the time.
I think the idea of contentment is an interesting one, because, like, yeah, when I hear the word happiness, I think, to your point, Dirk, it is a sensation that is, like, that is pleasant, but embedded within a happy experience is also a fear that you could
have an
unhappy experience.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. And this is one of the things that's often talked about in like, Zen Buddhism, is the idea that within every positive experience is a fear or a seed of a negative experience. So if you appreciate feeling connected or loved, that's actually sort of negative, because it means that you fear being lonely and disconnected. Mm. And if you feel grateful for being, I don't know, like young and healthy, that also is bad, because it means you fear being old and unhealthy, which is inevitably going to happen to everybody.
Well, so that's a good one for you. I don't even know what that means anymore.
Dirk, you're plenty young. You're plenty young. You just renovated a whole house. That's like taking
finally,
a lot of energy, presumably.
That's almost 60.
Mm. Yeah, but what we didn't actually tell people is that you did start renovating that when you were 20. So 40 years of renovation, it's finally paid off. But my point being is that I think we do have, like, as a culture, like a very strong obsession with, I mean, I can't speak to your countries because everyone here is in a different country, but I feel like we do have a very strong obsession with, like, pursuing happiness. But embedded within that is, like, sort of this very negative notion that you can fail and you can achieve the opposite of happiness, and therefore you can be unhappy and miserable. And that's why I feel that peace is almost a better thing to try to move towards, because to me, peace is like you just accept the way that things are and you embrace whatever that is.
There's a dangerous, this is why Steve is so difficult. So yes. Accepting the way things are great can be super healthy. It can also
be situations when it sucks though,
in a super shitty situation where you're like, you know what? I'll just accept the way things are rather than putting effort into changing it. Right. So it's like anything. Yeah. It's not a black and white thing.
Yep.
So for sure, peace is a part of that. Happiness has to be fleeting. Zen Buddhists are largely full of shit, like any philosophers. It's not rooted in fear. Being unhappy, super easy. being discontented, effortless. I think it does require some effort, and maybe more effort for some people than others. I think some people are sort of naturally better at achieving that sort of balance. Mm-hmm. And some of us tend toward the, probably an exaggeration, but the manic depressive side of it, where we tend to be like really fucking happy and achieving a whole shit ton of, getting a lot done for, a week, and then sort of wallowing in a rampant alcoholism for a week. And then the next week you're like, yeah, I am back, bitches. And, you're getting a lot of shit done again.
And then there are situations where people have real chemical imbalances, it's not just, happiness is an inside job. Well, yes, it is, but...
Yeah, there's definitely a genetic component.
But sometimes there's depression, which is not brought on by anything exterior or your own real thoughts or anything. It's just something that hits. Manic depression is a real thing. It's not just like, oh, snap out of it. You're too happy. Quit that.
If you just try being
down.
Happy.
Too miserable. You're too miserable. Quit that.
Oh, geez, I didn't think of that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but that's, when things like therapy, medications can be real things to consider and can help. So it's,
should we perhaps, as we close out this episode, I think a good way to kind of end this, I've got a few notes written down, which I'll kind of say at the end, but from each of you, what do you think is what activities make you the happiest? And you can also add to that, what times and places and experiences just lead to you having the highest levels of happiness or Steve or peace or whatever we want to call it.
I've thought about that a lot lately. I don't know. If someone said, if you could be doing anything you want right now, what would it be? And sometimes I'll say, I just really love to sit and watch. I can completely get absorbed in a good TV series and just binge,
sure.
Or movies. Or I would say, at this moment, I'd really love to be on a Caribbean beach, just sitting and doing nothing. And yet I know that in that situation, after about, not very long, I get antsy.
Yes.
And it's like, and that's why if I go on vacation and do something like that, it's got to be a fairly significant amount of time, because if I'm only there for a week, it's not till the third day that I can get over that anxiousness and finally start to chill and enjoy. And then by the time that happens, it's time to come back. So it's
I don't think there's one single answer to that sort of question, because a lot of the time it's like at the moment, like there are times when I'm just like, you know what, I really want to do, I really want to go to the pub with my friends or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's perfect. But then there are other times when I'm like, no, what I want to do is sit at home and read a book, or I want to just sit with Vicky and chill on the sofa for a while or whatever. There's no one answer to it. It's kind of like,
it's very context dependent.
Yeah. So you've just got to, I guess, figure out how to go with what you're wanting at the time as much as you can, and stop trying to force yourself to do things that you think maybe are going to make you happy.
Are going to make you happy, yeah.
It's so fucking strange, happiness. Sorry, Steve. That, you know, it's elusive. And there's no one way to get there. And there's no one way to keep there. And him. It.
It. Yeah.
What is Steve?
That's what about problem. You, Mike? Would you add anything to that? The
definition is shaky. Yeah, so I like to cheat a lot. There's short-term Steve, which is basically a chemical rush, and I find I often reach
whiskey.
For that.
Whiskey Steve.
Sometimes whiskey Steve. Sometimes Steve feels like numb, and that's what I want. It's not always a good idea. In fact, it's usually not. Numb probably is bad, but it's often what I go for. But also, I try and absolutely like crush like 40, 45 minutes of like hard cardio and every morning until I am fucking soaked in sweat. And nice. Afterwards, I have this sort of like mellow.
Runner's high.
Just like.
What sort of cardio? Are you sort of running or you're on one of those cross training?
Yeah, I've got an elliptical thing in the basement. So I can sort of set the, the difficulty. I've got a TV down there. So, you know, I'll watch whatever show and, you know, my brain's sort of distracted from the fact that I'm in a basement. And I can do, like, go flat out. I'll sort of pick a pace and just keep one eye on that pace, keeping, you know, maintaining it and do 40 minutes of that until I am absolutely soaked in sweat. And, you know, that gives me that.
He's kind of obsessed with that soaked in sweat thing, isn't he?
Well, yeah, bodily fluids.
Well, and you know, bodily fluids and Fletcher.
Yeah. But that's a temporary thing, and I think it helps give you a bit of it increases your base level of Steve a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's not that's not a life thing. It's not a life change. It's not a, like, you know, finding a, being in a good place with where you're at in your job or your relationships or your, you know, your existence, your day to day. For that, it's like, I think like Rob said, it keeps changing. You know, it's, if you think you found Steve, you probably briefly have. But you
enjoy
know,
the Steve when you find the Steve, because the Steve is fleeting. Yes.
Yeah. Don't and worry, then understand that it's going to go Steve. Away and you're going to have to keep, keep sort of paying attention.
You cannot keep escaping.
I remember
when
I
was going to say you need to lock Steve up.
When that's Mike first started like formulating this and figuring out what it was that Steve was going to be, he posted that he had declared that from there on out everyone he was going to call everyone Steve and everyone was going to be Steve. That was on Facebook a few years ago. I have decided everyone is going to be Steve. Everyone is Steve.
He's kind of obsessed with that name, isn't he? There's something about the name.
Well,
Steve,
he wanted everyone to be happy and to be to achieve
everyone to be a Steve.
The Steve.
I think interesting thing you're bringing up here, which is this is maybe a good point to wrap it up, and then I can mention the book that I pulled off my shelf because Mike, I'm pretty sure you'll love it. Is that like a lot of this comes down to seemingly like removing judgment over how you should be spending the present moment? Because like as you were saying before, Rob, there are some activities that you would only want to be doing if you're feeling a certain way. So you wouldn't always want to go and hang out with your friends at the pub, but sometimes you do. Sometimes you want to do something totally different. So it seems like one way to kind of reduce a potential source of anxiety in any moment is to try as much as possible to reduce your judgments about like how you should be spending time. Obviously within reason and all these things, there's like a middle ground to it, because if you did tell yourself, oh, okay, I'm going to spend today writing and then you're just goofing off on social media the whole time, then that maybe is a good opportunity to have some judgment productively applied. But within reason, I think it is beneficial to kind of not tell yourself there's like one right way to do things. And that brings me to one of my favorite books I read last year called How to Live by Derek Sivers. And essentially, the opening chapter begins by saying that the way to live is to be independent, to not be reliant on other people, to be pursuing freedom to separate yourself from expectations from society. Then the second chapter is like, the way to live is to be dependent on other people and to be connected and to integrate yourself into society. And he goes through 27 different ways that in each chapter, he convinces you that that is the way to live. And he does it 27 times. And it's remarkable because
that's
at the end
awesome.
Of every chapter, you're like, I've finally figured it out. All the ones before this, they were BS, but this one, it's real. And then you get to the next chapter and it's a totally different thing again. Yeah. And it's only a short book. It's like, yeah,
it
probably like 100 pages long.
Yeah.
And would highly recommend, because what it does is it just makes you realize, there's no one right way to do
this. Super manipulatable.
Yeah. And that as well. You're like, I just believe whatever people tell me if they say it in a convincing enough way.
Yep.
So
I think a lot, I think for today's society in a lot of ways is one really good way for a little inner peace, a little inner Steve is very important not to be judging yourself and what you're doing and what you're thinking all the time. But it's impossible to do that if you're constantly judging others. And people, this culture seems to want to judge everyone, everything, all the time. And that's not healthy, not healthy at all.
How's your Kickstarter doing against Brandon Sanderson's?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's huge, especially for writing. It's so easy to judge, like when you see one author posting a word count of like 30,000 words in a week and you're like, geez, I'm struggling to get to like 7,000 words in a week or whatever it is. And yeah, like that comparisonitis, comparing yourself to other people is just so toxic. And also even worse than comparing yourself to other people is comparing yourself to imaginary versions of how you think you should be in a situation or how you think that certain things should have turned out. I feel like that's even more toxic.
I just every day try to be Mike Fletcher.
I want to be like Mike.
He is my Sifu, my Steve-fu.
Steve-fu, nice.
Sensei.
I am the center, I am the all, I am the sun.
Nice. Can't wait until we become the singularity, aka Mike. All right, so wrapping up this episode, I feel like just the most practical takeaway from this is that if you're not exercising regularly, do it.
Actually, that's the
one takeaway. Fuck all that. Everything we've all said, bullshit to that. Just exercise, guys. You're fine.
Rob had a record run today.
No, that was yesterday. Yeah, I got a new personal best for my 5K. 29 minutes and 41 seconds.
Nice.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, dude, I think mine is 21 hours.
That is super slow. Oh my God. You're walking quickly.
All of us trying to build Rob.
Judgy. So judgy.
Mike over here.
So like, judgy.
Like, no, but hold on. I find Steve in bringing Rob down.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Fletcher, you can talk when you're actually, you know, going out and doing it in the sun
or whatever,
in your basement going, I am so hardcore.
I can't wait until we do the
running is way more difficult than the elliptical, for sure.
All right, so practical takeaways from this. If you're not exercising, exercise more. I also think another one is like trying to diversify your identity a bit. So if you're just spending all day writing and it's a bad writing session, you've had a bad day. But if you're writing and you're also doing some candle making and you're also doing some like elliptical running or whatever, then, you know, there is like a few different aspects of your identity that you were developing in that day. So if one goes bad, maybe the other two are good. Probably what the other one is maybe just like the idea of capping your expectations on yourself for work. Like not expecting yourself to write for 12 hours straight, but being like, I'm happy if I go for a 30-minute sprint, like Fletcher said, and then you can cap it there and be done with it.
No, he didn't say he likes that. He hates that. But he does really well. But he's productive.
Yeah. It keeps me going.
That's fair. All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening or watching to this. Mike, yet again, your chaos episode has been gold standard. I don't know how you pulled these things out of your head like this, but I really enjoyed this discussion. I hope you listening to this or watching this as well found this fun, even if it was a bit esoteric. Thank you everybody for listening and watching. Also, Reminder, on our Patreon, which if you want to support the show, it's a great way to do it. You can get free access to Rob's next book. Rob, give us the quick spiel about your next book.
All right, quickly. It's book four of The War Eternal, which started with Along the Razor's Edge, which is all about Eska, who's that character, and also that character. You know, she's an angry little hate-filled ball of rage. So go and read it.
One of my favorite series from the last couple of years. It's the reason why I became a massive fan of Rob's, and also probably the reason why this podcast started, because I enjoyed it so much. I chatted to
Rob
about
it. We're still confused that you managed to talk us into being here.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how this happened.
I think you were like, "Oh, Dirk and Rob said that they're in to me," and then you said, "Mike and Rob are into Dirk." Yeah, we're all like, "What? Who's this ghostwriting guy? Why?
Yeah, master communicator right here."
And here we are, like a year and a half later, and I still don't know why I'm here.
Yeah.
Because we love you.
That's what you can do when you have the level of Steve that I have, Mike. The world just bends to your every whim and desire. And
sounds like a book that's read.
Maybe it was the most deluded out of all of us, and that's why my powers are the most strong. Anyway, that's probably a good point to end it on before we start getting into more rabbit holes that we've already explored in this episode. So thank you everybody for listening or watching, and we'll see you next week.
Achieve the Steve.
Nice. I really liked that. That was sick.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.